You all make that sound like a hymn and a lullaby and a song of hope and a great homage to a wonderful songwriter with a sweet, sweet voice. So thank you. And thank you, our beautiful house band, for bringing us that today. And Herman's Hermits. And some Kit Holmes. And thank you. I do have a good talk today. I can call it a good talk, I think. That changed just a little bit before I got here, because I was watching this morning as I was getting ready, kind of listening to an interview with Jane Goodall. And she's one of those people that I kind of go, wow, she's still alive. You know, I didn't know. Listening to her journey to how she became the woman who lived with the chimpanzees and still does is a fascinating story that I won't go into the whole story, but you know, the first reason that she got to stay is because they observed the chimpanzees using tools to get termites. And if you've never seen, they figured out how to put a stick into a termite mound and pull out a whole stick full of termites to eat. Yummy. And because they had found out that there was another species that used tools besides Homo sapiens, that was enough to get a National Geographic grant for her to continue her work, and then it just continued. Yeah, I know. But then her moment when she realized that she could communicate with the chimps was when she, the first alpha male that she made contact with, she had just been hanging around with them with great patience. And this kind of work requires that. And at one point, she was fairly close to the one she called David Graybeard. And she held out a nut to David, and he wasn't interested in it. He wouldn't look at it. And so she got a little bit closer to him and extended it a little bit closer to where he was. And he took the nut out of her hand and dropped it because he wasn't interested in the nut. But he made eye contact with her and squeezed her finger. Now, that may sound like some no big deal, but to have that kind of conscious communication with another species that's the closest to us in our DNA makeup. I'm not going to get into evolution and creationism, okay? I'm not going there. But we share a very close DNA bond with the primates. And it makes us think beyond the primates to the dolphins, to the bowerbirds. Have you ever seen a bowerbird that creates a beautiful little house to attract a mate, you know, and sweeps in front of it and all this stuff, hoping to attract a female? Not unlike humans. And you look at the fact that every year we have new growth that springs up through the earth, because its DNA says that's what it's supposed to do. And it has the most incredible urge to push itself through impossible pressure to become a blade of grass. And on the other hand, That blade of grass, that leaf on the tree, will eventually come to a point where its time is done, its DNA has run its course, and it will drop from the tree, it will lay down on the ground, and it will become one with the earth again. The blade of grass never says, as far as we know, this is too hard, I don't think I can do this. The earth is too hard. I can't. The leaf on the tree never says, I'd prefer to be furled up. I would rather not open. I'm just going to stay furled up here. Well, I guess some of them do. But that was their destiny. What can I say? Maybe leaves have free will. And they don't argue about those things, do they? And yet, look at what we do. When we are facing our next level of growth, where we have to push through impossible forces to get there, it's too hard. I don't want to do this. We can fight it if we want to, but we are destined to become what we were created to be, which is one with the whole universe, to become the expression of the divine, period. We were destined to do that. And we were given, it's a gift and a curse that we were given free will, isn't it? God must really trust us to be able to make good choices most of the time, to walk into our growth, to walk into what's next, to be able to handle whatever it is that life is handing us. And say, yes, I will do this. I don't necessarily like it, but I'll do it. We have images now. Have you seen them? Of the deepest levels of the universe, the farthest distances in higher resolution from the Hubble than we have ever had before. And the images that we have now make those astonishing images from a few years ago look rudimentary. It is a field of light. There are galaxies that are just amazingly brilliant amongst billions of stars. We are part of that. And yet, we're also part of chimpanzee. You understand? One can help us know our grandeur. One can keep us humble. We do manage to figure out ways to humble ourselves pretty easily, don't we? If we will allow ourselves to have the gift of humility so that we can go through whatever it is we have to do with grace. You know, it's that moment when you realize, oh, my big plan is taking a different direction. That moment you realize, I've hurt another person and I need to make it right. That moment when you realize that you maybe don't know as much as you thought you did and it's time for learning. And so I want to share with you how this came down to us If anybody happened to read Richard Rohr's meditation this morning, how amazing that it was called One United Dynamic Nature. I don't know how that happened. So hang with me here for a second. While the Christian faith is living and evolving, its foundation is still Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Anointed, period. Such a firm, clear centerpiece will allow us, indeed demand of us, that we move outward from there. But the pieces of the Rubik's Cube that we must forever untangle anew are all firmly in place. The forever union of matter and spirit, of human and divine, of God with creation, is revealed in human history as Jesus and in the cosmos as Christ. Remember, Christ is bigger than just the Jesus name. Christ is the divine spirit. This pretty much makes any attempts at exclusion virtually impossible. Such wholeness at the heart of the universe is known by other names in various religions and fields of study, as we'll see later this year. So if you're not subscribing to this, you might want to. Understanding how Jesus was fully human and fully divine at the same time requires non-dual consciousness, which is where my talk started when I was writing it last night. That's probably why it has often been best taught by mystics who spend much time in deep prayer. So then he talks about the Alexandrian mystics who were hermits and monks and nuns living in the Egyptian desert. Some of these mystics are known as the desert fathers and the desert mothers. In general, the early Alexandrian school represents the more mystical and non-dual tradition of Christianity, but it never dominated in the common imperial versions of the gospel, either Roman or Byzantine, so it was completely lost by the time of the Protestant Reformation. What a shame. So our perpetual challenge is to reconcile our certainty of duality, because we're pretty sure that the duality exists. We're pretty sure of it. And we have to reconcile that with the truth that all is God and God is all. So duality looks like this: confusion, separation, uncertainty, hopelessness, good and evil, us and them. That's what duality looks like. I'm just going to run through those terms again, and I want you to see how they make you feel. Confusion, separation, uncertainty, hopelessness, good and evil, us and them. Not the way I want to live. It's the way I live sometimes. I don't want to. So, especially when we're working through our human conditioning and our human defects, characteristics that we have that are not necessarily pleasant, not necessarily the highest expression of who we are. You know what those things are, don't you? You know what those things are, don't you? Those things about us that are less than divine. They hold us back from our next level of spiritual growth, and we will fight to hold on to them as hard as we can. If you find yourself saying, "That's just the way I am, I've always been that way," knock it off. Yes, I'll take an amen on that. It gets you nowhere. It keeps you right here, stuck, feet in the mud, or worse, stinky. So stop. It's a hard thing for us to see ourselves honestly. We've been talking about it this month. It's hard for us to do that. And it's absolutely vital. Because none of us wants to stay stuck in confusion, separation, uncertainty, hopelessness, good and evil, us and them. We don't want to stay stuck there. At some point, we discover this great compassion for ourselves and for others in our journey because we're one. We're one with spirit and one with each other. And we can't say, oh, it's all God, except for this part right over here. Oh, that part is just human. Mm-hmm. It's a human expression, but it's not our highest expression. Here's the good news. There is some good news in all of this. Is that first of all, we have prayer, we have our connection with the divine, we have the most amazing things that happen to prove to us that God exists. And one of the best examples of proof that we have is each other. When we have love, when we have unconditional regard for each other. Jan told me this morning that the black I'm wearing today, well, not counting the sparkles, the black stands for ruthless compassion. Isn't that great? It's like, I'm gonna love you so hard. You cannot make me not love you. I am gonna stick with you through this icky part of your journey no matter what. You're a pain in my neck. And I'm just gonna love you anyway. Yes, sir. Give me one of those right there, Jim Beal. Here. Just give me five, honey. I'm not going to hit you. Even as we encounter that which is less than our highest expression, it serves us, it teaches us, it informs us, it gives us an ability to be compassionate with others, and it helps identify the things that we project onto others as well. I can't stand that person is so impatient. I wish they would hurry up and get more patience. Alrighty. So we get to lean upon each other as the physical evidence of God. That's a wonderful thing if we'll allow it. Your alternative is to try to do it all by yourself. I'll go back to those terms if you want me to about confusion, separation, etc. There's no need for you to take this journey by yourself. And if you say to yourself, well, I'm a private person, that's the way I've always been, knock it off. And open yourself, bend yourself, become pliable and malleable. Allow yourself to be vulnerable to somebody else. They're not going to bite you. Because you will find the person that has ruthless compassion for you, and your big darn deal isn't going to be a big darn deal to them. There's a lot of folks in this room that are in 12-step programs. Excuse me. Remember when you were writing out that fourth step, and you're just going, ugh. Oh my God, I hate this. And then you have to go to your sponsor, and you have to tell them, and you're just going, vomit, vomit, vomit. Here's all my crud. Here it is. And they go, okay, anything else? Just like, wait, that's it? Wait. No Hail Marys, no. Well, how would you like to do it differently? You've said it all now. What do you need to do to make it better in your life? Notice that that person isn't saying to you, oh man, you're a bigger mess than I thought you were. Aren't you glad your sponsors never said that to you, or your therapist, or anybody else that you care about? No. We want to help each other out because we want help. We want someone to be compassionate and loving with us. And our first line of defense is spirit itself. And when they talk about, you know, putting on the armor of God, that's an old Christian phrase. Oh my goodness, I grew up so Baptist. Putting on the full armor of God, that sounds so martial, you know? But it's more like, oh, this world cannot defeat me because I have the protection and the oneness with that which created me. What a gift. It never goes away. One of my favorite things to say to somebody when they're going through a tough time is, God didn't bring you this far just to drop you off and say, okay, you got it. Go ahead. Go ahead on. See you later. God never does that. Spirit never does that. Because we cannot separate ourselves from spirit any more than we can float off these chairs. Maybe we can float off these chairs. We have come close in some of our meditations. But you know what I mean. Any more than we can defy gravity by our own will, we cannot separate ourselves from God. Does that mean that you're fully known in your deep darks? Sure. Does that mean you're fully accepted along with your deep darks? Of course. Of course. And we're learning how to express that to each other so that we can be reminded. Thank goodness. So we get to practice oneness in this laboratory of community here. Enjoying each other in our commonalities and in our differences. Notice I said enjoying each other in our commonalities and our differences. It's not just liking people who are like us. It's being in communion with those who are different from us. We're in this laboratory of community as we make decisions with each other for the higher good, as we practice and encourage the highest in each other, as we practice authenticity and transparency and patience and kindness. And see, I could do another whole talk on kindness. Because if we master just that one attribute, we'd be way ahead of the game. Kindness. Do you know that we've lost people from this community because of political differences that are expressed and argued? We've lost people that have left this community. It doesn't matter which side of the political fence or spectrum you want to be on. We've lost our friends, and you've lost friends out there in the world. And I'm just naming that elephant because we must be kind. We must. I'd like to say we have a choice. Sure, We do, but kind of not. Take a breath, why don't you? There's that piece in scripture that says that the way is narrow. Because a lot of those other non-spiritual choices, those choices that don't serve our highest good and the highest good of those around us, those begin to fall away. So that we have this one shining path to walk upon. Yeah, we're going to step off sometimes. One of my great teachers used to say that what we do for each other, if you've ever been scuba diving, the way that you know where the surface is to look which way your bubbles are going. And if you're swimming with a partner, if you're diving with a partner, which you always should, and your partner gets disoriented and starts swimming the wrong direction, bang, bang, bang on your tank, and you show them which way the bubbles are. Hey, follow your bubbles. That's what we do for each other. Tink, tink, tink on the tank. Bubbles are this way. Come on, swim with me. Come on, swim with me. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Yeah, I'm not going to sing that little high note there. No, no. If you were waiting on that, sorry, it's not going to happen. If you didn't get a chance to take Kit's class, well, come to the last class, even if you haven't come to any of them. But if you haven't read this little book called This Thing Called You, every single sentence is a pearl. And hopefully when we teach Lessons in Truth next month, you'll find the same there. So you're going to get Ruthless Truth this year, too. With a good-natured flexibility with yourself, learn to rise from confusion into peace, from sadness into joy. There is no law for you, but your own soul shall set it under the one great law of all life. Turn to the light within, believe in yourself, have confidence in the high impulsions that come to you. Do that the next time you get an inspiration. Oh, I just had a high impulsion. You just say great early 20th century language. That's wonderful. Oh, I have an impulsion. Listen deeply to the divine nature which forevermore imparts itself to you. Spirit is absolute, unlimited, and ever available. Spirit is right where you are. Spirit fills all space, flows through all form, creates everything, governs everything through love, controls everything through law, expresses life and beauty in everything. So I want you to imagine just for a moment, I'm David Graybeard, and I'm reaching out and I'm squeezing your finger. Okay? Why don't we pray? I'm speaking these words for me and for you and for all people because we are one. There is one power, one presence, and one life. The living spirit is right where I am, within, around, and through me. I am in spirit. Spirit is in me. Spirit knows in me. Spirit sees through me, thinks in my mind, acts through my act, this wellspring of life flowing up through me knows no obstruction, no congestion, no imperfection. There is a pattern of perfection at the center of my being, a divine and heavenly pattern of wholeness. Every organ, action, and function of my being is spiritual. The spirit is perfect in every part of my being. I live in peace, in joy, and in perfect life. Breathe. If you've forgotten that you are one with spirit and never separated from it, remember now. Try not to forget. There's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from God. Nothing. I want you to let your hands touch each other in whatever way. Lacing your fingers together, holding them gently, pressing the palms together. Just for a moment, let your hands represent the miracle of spirit activity in your body. From the very beginning, before you were born, these hands came into existence. And no matter what might ache your hands, just for a moment, feel the warmth. Know that every cell is activated by the biology of spirit. And then by extension, this is through your entire body. From the hair follicles on your head to the soles of your feet, a divine creation. Spirit's precious one. Loving Spirit, let us not forget . And when we do, we know that you will open our eyes to the miracles that lie before us, for the life that is one with all of us, from the birds to the leaves to the water, to our neighbor beside us, to those on the other side of the world, in the deepest oceans and the tallest mountains, all one. from our beautiful blue marble out into the farthest reaches of the universe, the field of a billion stars. We are one. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for our divinity. And breathe. And so it is.